Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Broadway Podcast Network presents Giants in the Sky, how Sondheim and Lapine went into the woods, with me, Ben Rimmelauer. Today's guest, Tracy Katz Paladini, Little Red Riding Hood on the national tour.
Once upon a time,
Tracy Katz Paladini played Little Red Riding Hood on the national tour of the original production of Into the Woods, directed by James Lapine, as well as in numerous subsequent iterations, including major revivals at Sacramento Music Circus, Long Beach Civic Light Opera, Theater Under the Stars, and The Ordway. Off-Broadway, she appeared in the original production of The Chosen. So I guess I want to know, before you even were cast in Into the Woods, when did the knowledge that this show existed come into your head? Did you audition for it in New York? What was your awareness?
I did. So I knew Joanna Merlin. I went to Stage Door Manor with her two daughters.
Oh.
And I had auditioned for Merrily. She had seen me in a show at Stage Door and said, I'd like you to audition for the show. And so I went in and I auditioned and made it all the way up to the final callback for Merrily.
For the La Jolla Playhouse Merrily?
No, this is for the Broadway.
Wow, I didn't think you would even be old enough for that. That's like 1980?
It was...
81?
Yeah, right around there. 81, right, yeah.
So, okay, you auditioned for Merrily. Okay,
so there, so then she called me in for Into the Woods, but for Rapunzel. Because I can sing high too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I auditioned and just didn't go anywhere. And then I went and did an off-Broadway show called The Chosen.
Oh, yeah.
And you know I'm best friends with Jeff Blumenkrantz, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he invited me to the invited dress rehearsal for Into the Woods on Broadway. And so that's like, I got to see it from, you know, day one there. And that's
back
when I was
in the
like,
theater or in the rehearsal studio?
In the Martin Beck. Although I was actually present at some of the backers' auditions, like one at Sardi's. Jeff was playing Rapunzel's prince at that point.
Wow.
And Joanna was attached and Chip. And I was there. I don't know why, but I was there. I guess
was
I was
that just like songs?
Yes. Yeah, so James Lapine would just sort of give a little intro and say a little bit about what was going on, and then they would do different songs from the show. And they had already done it at La Jolla.
Right.
So this was after that.
So was like Betty Buckley the witch in those presentations?
It wasn't Bernadette, and I can't remember who the witch is. I'm going to say maybe there was no witch.
Okay, just like other material.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because, I mean, the witch wasn't originally supposed to be a star vehicle.
Right, right.
And then once Bernadette joined, it was, you know, they built it up. In fact, I was sitting in the audience next to Sondheim once. We were, I don't know, I guess it was tech. And he like turned to me and he said, you know, we didn't plan to have this many ballads in a row in Act Two.
I'm glad he was aware.
He was definitely aware.
Wait, so when you saw those backers auditions, was Danielle Ferlin Little Red?
I don't think there was a Little Red.
Gotcha.
I think it was, it was like Agony and Giants in the Sky, Joanna's number, just like a few numbers.
And were you like, oh, this show's so great, I'm sad I didn't get cast, or no?
No, not yet. I'm weird with Sondheim. If I go in knowing the music, I love it my first time. Yeah. If I don't, it takes me a while.
I get that, totally.
Okay. Well, I mean, thank God Jeff was the understudy for several different roles, because I would keep going back to see him in each role. And each time I was like, wait a second. Oh, I really like this show. And it almost makes me feel like I'm a little, you know, it's me, because if I should have recognized its value earlier, but it just took, it's so much being thrown at you.
I feel that way too, 100%. Okay. I mean, I think, and I feel that way with a lot of the modern musicals that I think take after Sondheim, because in the old show, like if you see Hello Dolly, you know, or like an Andrew Lloyd Webber show, it's like the music is sort of repeated so much that your mind locks into the, oh, this is like the chorus and the hook. And, you know, I think it just takes longer. The Sondheim stuff is just, it's like you said, there so much comes at you. It's very rich and it's rewarding. I mean, you can, you know, listen to Sunday in the Park with George a million times and still find new things in it. But the first time you're a little bit like, wait, what?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, oh, now when I listen to Sunday, I'm like, there are so many similarities with Sunday and Into the Woods, and some of the chords and the you know, just the things that are going on. It just, it hits me so profoundly. It's like in my bones. Yeah.
Did you read James Lapine's book about it, putting it together? Was it like 2 years ago?
No, I have not read that book.
It's so great because he talked to all the people involved. And so it's basically just his dialogues with all the actors and actors that got fired and actors that did the workshop and that quit and the designers and producers and people he didn't get along with. And just like, and all of them, you know, it's 40 years later, piecing together their memories of, you know, wait, what happened? Oh, right. We did have rehearsals, and that's, you know, and it's so interesting. And it made me want to do this podcast because I felt like that doesn't exist for Into the Woods, and it's pre-internet. So people don't know things. I mean, there's so much I want to know that I still haven't been able to find out because it's not Googleable, you know?
Yeah.
So you saw Jeff go on as Rapunzel's prince and as Jack.
And the steward.
He was the steward.
And I think those were the three.
What was your favorite Jeff Blumenkrantz Into the Woods performance?
Well, I loved watching him do the backers audition when he was Rapunzel's prince, because he had no direction and he just got to go full on comedy.
Oh, wow.
Which was, I mean, I loved it. And I totally understand picking Chuck, and, you know, it was totally different and worked really well. And I understood why. But on Broadway, it was definitely Jack.
Yeah. Why is that?
Seeing him, Jack. His you know, his innocence and what he brought to the role. I loved it. And I love Ben too, but it was great.
I wish I could find video or audio even of Jeff as Jack. The way he described it to me a little bit as being like intellectually challenged. And that really,
I think you're right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So did you see it on Broadway all those times with Jeff and go, why did they audition for me for Rapunzel? I want to play Little Red.
It was never, I want to play Little Red, but it was more like, oh, wait, I'm more like, that's who I'm more right for. I'm just not a Rapunzel at all.
Well, you've got the hair. So when did you find out that there was, did you go in for any replacement casting on Broadway or not until the tour audition?
No, I got a call to audition for the tour, and that's when I was like, okay. So I quickly put together, I know things now because I knew that I needed to sing the song. And my first audition was for Joanna and James in some theater. I can't remember, but it was in some Broadway theater, not the Martin Beck. Not the Martin Beck's, different one. And then, it was the Edison Hotel Theater. It was that. I remember was Oh Calcutta. Oh Calcutta right. was there. That's where I saw Oh Calcutta. And I was like, what is that?
Well, it must have been well heated.
What?
They must have had the heater on well.
The heater? Oh.
They can't keep the theater too drafty.
Oh, you're so funny. No, we needed our fake IDs to get into that one.
Wait, so how old would you have been when you auditioned?
I had just graduated college.
Okay.
So I was old.
Well, this is great timing for you then. I mean, you're ready to get.
So I graduated from college. I went straight out of college into summer stock. And then I did, I got an audition for a show up at the Goodspeed Opera House, and I got that. And then right from the Goodspeed, I did The Chosen in New York. And then pretty close to that into the woods.
And so, your first audition was for Joanna and James.
Joanna and James, and you know, I knew Joanna, and I had been to her house, and so it felt comfortable. Good.
She seemed. I did get to talk to her for this, and she seems just like so lovely and such a mentor to so many people.
I love her. She is golden. She's a wonderful human, and her daughters are wonderful as well. They're great.
The original title. I mean, how is right? that not like the first thing?
Exactly.
What point did you have to sing for Sondheim or Geminiani?
Yeah, they called me right back. They called me right back from that audition, and I think it was really soon, like maybe the next day or 2 days later, and that's when it was for Sondheim as well.
And were you like?
And oh. I don't think it was Geminiani. I think Ford. Paul Ford was playing piano.
And were you like? Well, this is going well. I'm booking this. Like, did you have that confidence about it?
I mean, I knew I could sing it, and I felt like it was. It felt right.
Yeah.
But the at the very end of the song. I know things now. There's this little da 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 da, and there's that little final button.
Yeah.
And I kind of was, you know, I had just learned the song. It wasn't really in me, and I had looked down and I lifted my head up to sort of be like, okay, I'm done. But it turns out I lifted my head up right on the button and kind of went like this, and Sondheim laughed, and that's when I felt like, okay, I think I did okay.
That's great. And so then you got the offer.
I got the offer.
And did you know anything about like the tour at that point, like how long it would be, where it'd be playing, who was starring in it? Did you have, was that like stuff that you were following or told about or?
No, I don't. I mean, I knew it was the national tour. I knew we would be rehearsing in New York with the whole group, but I didn't know who was cast at that point.
And was that like a great job? Because I mean, tours are good money anyway. And that's like in the golden age of like production contracts and all that, right?
So that was the time where you would, we would bank our salary and live on our per diem.
Mm.
And you just saved a lot. And that's how they got so many really well-known talented people to go out on tour because, you know, it's how you could save enough money to put a down payment on your house.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
It was nice.
Even if you were 22, you wouldn't be like, you know, stupid and make 22-year-old decisions about your money.
I have always been very frugal and money, you know, money-wise, and I live nicely, but I really like a bargain.
Oh, Tracy, I wish you'd been my mentor. Tell me about the rehearsal process.
We rehearsed for a month at the Minskoff in the city.
On the stage?
No, in the Minskoff rehearsal studio, sorry.
Oh, is that in, downstairs in the same building or upstairs or whatever? Or?
Upstairs. Yeah. There were all rehearsals. Hang on, I'm just trying to remember. I think we were rehearsing at the same time as Jerome Robbins Broadway, like in the same kind of hallway and whatever. I'm not mistaking it. I don't think it was The Chosen. I think it was Into the Woods.
Yeah.
But like
the timing, would be Into the Woods. You've got to be right. Yeah.
There were a whole, like, it was just rehearsal studios. That was where all the shows
had their rehearsal
studios back then. It was like the second floor, maybe. Jeff would know. He would be able to.
That's because that's not there anymore, that studio. I wonder.
I know. Then they went to like the 46th Street, whatever's, and yeah. So, but that was in the time, that's where we all rehearsed.
And that was the whole cast was rehearsing together, you said. So that's Cleo Lane. And is that Mary Gordon Murray and Ray Gill?
Yeah.
And Chuck Wagner.
Chuck was the Cinderella's prince and my wolf.
Yeah.
Kathy Rowe McCallan was our original Cinderella.
Oh, wow.
Robbie Duncan McNeil was my, and you know, so many of these people are still good, dear, dear friends.
Oh, really? That's so nice to hear.
When you're on the road for that long and you're living with them, I mean, it's, you know, and I did Into the Woods at least three or four more times with Mary Gordon Murray.
Oh, wow.
We wound up doing
the whole tour, right? Because she went into the Broadway company.
No, she did not stay the whole tour. You know who took her place? Our stepsister, Judy McLean.
Oh, wow.
She bumped up and then she became our baker's wife.
Long before she ever did Mamma Mia.
Correct.
and then, crazy thing I read that Cinderella's father was Kim Crosby's actual father.
Don Crosby, who I had worked with doing my first job out of college at Summerstock. I had done Brigadoon. He was Mr. Lundy. And so I got to reunite with him in the show. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. And
you know, he was like a dentist.
Right.
And he retired and decided he wanted to do acting and, you know, did it.
And he did it. And who was the narrator of Mysterious Man?
Rex Robbins.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. I've seen him. Yeah. And so what was Cleo Lane like?
She was, I've had the pleasure, like the stars that I've worked with, like across the board, I've just worked with the nicest humans ever. I have nothing bad to say about Cleo. She is a lovely, wonderful lady. Her husband's great. I think he passed actually, John Dankberg.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. Oh, we had Charlotte Ray too. Charlotte Ray was
jealous. Right. What was Charlotte Ray like?
Charlotte Ray and I were trapped behind a house before the opening of the show. So they decided to switch from the Broadway show. I don't know if you remember, but on the Broadway show, the Baker's Wife were stage left and Jack was center stage.
Yeah.
So for the tour, they decided that the Baker's Wife should be center stage and Jack moved to stage left.
Yeah.
So Charlotte and I were stuck behind the center stage house for the top of act one every night. And she was a piece of work. She was like, piece of work. One of my memories is one day she came out and her skin was completely orange. And I'm like, Charlotte, are you okay? And she's like, oh, yes, I just drank too much carrot juice and my whole body turned orange.
So, was she like a health nut?
Not necessarily, but I don't know. She was lovely. She was fine. She had a, you know, it's a tricky part. She's not, wasn't necessarily a singer. So I just remember conductor to get her on. He had to like, he started by going like this and then he started and went, shh, and then he started and he had to like hit his chest and go, shh. So she didn't know when to go in. But she was really perfect for the part. I mean, she was just like, you know, although Barbara Brynn.
I mean, Charlotte Rae was such a huge TV star at that time. I mean, I grew up watching her on The Facts of Life, religiously. Was she the draw for the audiences, like all around the country?
Maybe, I don't know. She didn't stay that long. We technically opened at the Amundsen in LA and she lives in LA. So I think that was, you know, because we were here for quite a while.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 months.
Because you live in LA now too. Yeah.
Now I'm in. I'm in LA.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah, I'm from LA and I went to high school in the Valley, and my our music studio, the first time I ever heard of Into the Woods was that in our music studio in my middle school, well, it was all one school, it was Oakwood. There was
you went to Oakwood.
Yeah.
My friends' kids went to Oakwood.
Okay. Yeah, well, it was good times back then. And we had this big poster for the national tour of Into the Woods, and it's listed Charlotte and Cleo on it. And I think there was a slogan like someone's been messing with our fairy tales or something. I don't know. I just remember sitting there bored in like music class and just like staring at that poster, you know, before I saw the show.
Wow. So when was the first time you saw the show?
Well, I think I was at my grand. This is so funny. I can't believe I've done all these interviews and I haven't talked about my experience with Into the Woods, but my, I'll probably cut this, but I'll tell you. My grandfather in the Bronx in Riverdale was like obsessed with his VCR. I mean, this was still in the heyday of like VCRs. And he would record like millions of things off of television and like label them. He would like fits three things on these like, you know, cheap play, like 6 hour videotapes. And he would do like all these movies and things from like HBO or even TV with commercials. And he would label them with like cutting out the TV guide listing for the thing. And so you could see sometimes it had like the, you know, the photo or whatever, like taped to the outside of the box. And I was like looking through his videos one time when I was sleeping over, and I was on California time and, you know, up when my grandparents were long sleeping. And I saw Into the Woods was there, and it was from the Broadway, you know, PBS version. And I only knew it existed because of the poster at school, but I put it on and then I was like, oh my God, this is so great. And, you know, and I loved Bernadette Peters. So I was excited.
We were still doing the tour when that happened, and Chuck had to leave for the taping for that.
Oh, right. Cause that's one of the things that I'd never realized until doing this podcast was that it kind of that rock star energy that you feel in that video is because so many of them had already left and were coming back, like, you know, returning heroes. And what was Chuck like in the role of the wolf? I mean, you know, he's so great on the video as Rapunzel's prince, but I have no concept of his wolf.
Chuck was amazing. And his physical, you know, just the his size. He was, I mean, you know, Chuck for me was great because I was his little red. You know, he was just as wonderful as could be and very professional on stage with me. And I loved performing with him.
Was his costume similar to the one on Broadway?
So I might be mixing up two stories right now.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I seem to remember that I think this is correct. This could be the Broadway story, but in my memory, we started the wolf had genitalia.
Yeah.
And then as we kept going along, they kept snipping it shorter and shorter. And then one day it was completely gone.
Yeah.
Like as we got to Des Moines, Iowa, or, you know, whatever, gone.
Yeah.
No more.
And what about the rest of your costumes? Was it the same look costume wise as the Broadway show?
Exactly the same Anvil Award. Like, you know, everything was exactly as Broadway. In fact, I've worn those costumes every time I've done the show. I've done it a bunch since the
Always
tour.
A little red.
And Sacramento Music Circus wound up buying the costumes after the Broadway show closed. And so they rent them out now. Yeah. And my husband was directing it. He was teaching grad school in Virginia. And I called up Sacramento and they wound up renting us the costumes for like a really nice amount. So, you know, this grad school got to wear them too.
That's great. Wait, so
they still live on. They still live on.
We'll finish talking about the tour, but I want to get to later on. I want to ask you about the other productions you did. But and how did the show play in these different, because I had this notion that Into the Woods, compared to other Sondheim shows, has a more mass appeal and that it would actually play really well all over the country. Is that right?
I think we did really well. I mean, we toured for just under 2 years. We had, you know, the audiences were full. We did well. It was a nice tour. I feel like people... It's interesting because I think people got it on different levels, depending on where they are, who they are, what point in their lives, where they were living. But, you know, people could identify with the fairy tale characters.
Sure.
And then sometimes the deeper levels came through. Act two, sometimes I felt like maybe people would get a little, you know, restless.
Yeah.
But overall, great response. And I think it played across the country. Better in the big cities,
right,
but well across the country. Although now, I mean, someone was telling me they saw the revival that's on right now, and it's become so many high schools have done this show that it has become this like culty kind of thing. And everybody knows the song, and like every song, huge cheers, like Little Red Song, you know, it's a nice song, but it's not like, ah, you know, but on Broadway now.
It does feel that way. It really does. I mean, almost to a detriment, like there's times when you feel like the audience is responding to a joke before it even really happens. Like they're just anticipating it. I mean, it's great that they're so with it. You know, it's better than the alternative, but it's definitely like very, very, it's a lot sometimes. Or you can't hear like the people singing because they're screaming so loud for like high notes and stuff that you're like, I actually didn't hear the high note because you were hollering, you know? It's not ideal.
Theater etiquette.
Yeah, at least they're buying tickets. But so, and did, was Sondheim and Lapine watching the show? Were you having feedback from them?
So Sondheim and Lapine were with us the entire time, the month that we rehearsed in the city. And then they both, they came to with us to Florida. We previewed in Florida at the Poinciana Playhouse.
Oh, got it.
And so I remember our Zitz probe was in the lobby of the Poinciana Playhouse with Sondheim conducting. I'm like,
wow.
Okay. You know, crazy. And then we did the Parker Playhouse, or maybe we did the Parker Playhouse first. I don't know. One or the other. And then they came to, LA to open it here. And then they would just pop in and out. You know, like I think Sondheim came when we were at the Kennedy Center, and he would just show up every now and then. You know, and
would he give you notes, or did he go through stage management or whatever?
So during rehearsal, he gave us notes. One particular time, so I got a note from Sondheim. He wanted me to punch Jack in the stomach at the end of Your Fault.
Yeah.
So I put it in at the next rehearsal. And then I got a note from Lapine saying, don't punch Jack at the end of Your Fault. So I went out and I like held up the two notes and I said, all right, guys, duke it out. Sondheim won that one.
That's amazing.
So he never, Sondheim never gave notes. I don't remember getting notes from him after we opened.
Yeah.
I do remember like when he came to the Kennedy Center, he took me aside and he congratulated me. I had won a Carbonell Award.
Oh, wow. For it.
And he said, you know, congratulations on your success. And I got nominated for Helen Hayes for that.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, I mean, were you just having the time of your life on that tour? That seems like such an incredible experience to have so fresh out of the gate.
Yes and no. So, I mean, yes, absolutely. But touring is hard and kind of lonely. And, you know, I just remember being in Cleveland a year in and just feeling down. And I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, I'm like below the line here. And he flew out. And, you know, it's touring, you know, you go home and you're still in a hotel room.
Yeah. And I mean, you were considerably younger than the rest of the cast too. Like,
no, I mean, Robbie Duncan McNeil was my age, and Jonathan Hadley was an understudy.
Jonathan Hadley, yeah, we did a class. He was Jeff's understudy in a class act.
I love him.
Which, I see, like the Jeff Blumenkrantz track of like the Rapunzel Jack Stewart understudy. That's so great. I love that he was in the Jeff Blumenkrantz track.
I'm just realizing this right now. Yes.
That's so cool.
So funny.
Did the young people stick together at all?
We all were together, except for Don, who was sort of like, you know, a little off.
Yeah.
And Cleo. We were really, really, really close. I forgot to mention Douglas Sills was our
Course. Yes, that I'd read. I mean, and he must have been really, that was that like his first big show?
I'm going to say yes.
Was he just like so handsome and charismatic and like an obvious like star?
Handsome, charismatic, but he has like a goofiness about him. And he was also Douglas, you know, he's Douglas, you know.
Yeah.
And it was close. He had not, like, because we were all sort of an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I'm the star, you know, when he went on to do Pimpernel. I'm sure it changed.
I mean, but it was like, I mean, Cleo Lane was older and like an international, like, you know, jazz legend. I mean, she must have been a little bit removed from
she like wasn't coming on outings with us, but we would eat with her sometimes. Yeah. And she was very accessible and absolutely lovely. Like, I remember we were at Douglas's house in I'm going to say Michigan. And, you know, Cleo came and like we would, there was participation. Yeah.
Did she stay in the tour longer than Charlotte?
Yeah. Cleo stayed 9 months.
Oh, wow.
And we got Betsy Jocelyn took over for Cleo. So Cleo and I were stuck behind a house for act two for even longer. And so they put these little seats for us that they hung on pegs, and we would put the seats down. And one night I said to her, I said, gosh, I'm schwitzing, because I had my wolf cape on. And she's like, what is schwitzing? And I was like, oh, it means sweating in Yiddish. And she's like, that's a great word. So every night I would teach her another Yiddish word.
Oh, I love that.
It was so great. Spilkis and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
That's so charming. And then what, like, I mean, I assume, did you guys all stay in the same, like, hotels or apartments, or how did that work?
For the most part. So they usually gave us two choices and we would pick whichever one we wanted, unless we had friends or family, and then we would go off on our own.
Yeah.
So for the 90% of the time, we were all together. And that, you know, because you're eating and you're really, it's not like you're working in an office and you just see a person 9 to 5. You're living with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It sounds like kind of like stage door.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you get to know them on a deeper level. Like every single person on that tour, still huge place in my heart.
So tell, who do you keep in touch with the most from the tour?
Oh, well, Mary Gordon Murray and Robbie Duncan McNeil, I would say the most.
I'm going to talk to Mary next week, actually. I'm excited.
I love her. I love Mary. And we did do it a few times after.
Yeah, so together. Tell me about the other productions you did.
So after the tour ended, I decided that I liked LA.
Yeah.
Mostly because we were here in January, February, March. And I was like, wait a second. it's warm. I like this. And I had gone to Syracuse University and I'm like, I don't ever want to be that cold again. So yeah. I was like, I'm going out there. So I came out here and my stepbrother was here. And I actually wound up living in the house of our, we had an assistant stage manager, Jill Gounder. Do you know Jill Gounder? She's still touring from the time from Into the Woods. She's still touring, like every show you could possibly imagine. So she was on another tour and her house, she's like, you know, I rented a room in her house and it was fabulous. So I moved out and I heard that there was a production at the Long Beach Civic Light Opera.
Oh yeah. I had a subscription there, but like, it was like a year later, like I didn't get to see that. Leslie Uggams, right?
Yes. So
I remember reading about
this
it.
This was Glenn Casale.
Yeah. The Terrace Theater, right?
The Norma's Terrace Theater.
Yeah. No. This is Terrace, like balcony.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember. So Glenn Casale and then John McDaniel was the musical director.
Wow.
So he actually asked me to audition.
How did you know that?
My agent must have said, you know, oh, they've got this out there. And, you know, so they asked me to come and audition and I went to John McDaniel's house. And I just sang through the song once and, you know, it was all nice. I think they just wanted to make sure that if they were working with someone that they would be, you know, take direction, basically.
Right.
And they were both lovely and great. So I did the show at Long Beach and then I wound up doing it, I'm going to say 7 or 8 other times with Glenn, like all the time. So Leslie Uggams was our witch. I would say 5 or 6 of those times.
Wow, she must have been incredible.
She was wonderful. I love Leslie.
I mean, I can only imagine just her voice, just like, just so thrilling on that stuff.
She was great. She was great. So we did it at Sacramento Music Circus with Leslie. I think we did, We did this big production at the Ordway, Glenn directed, and Kevin McCollum was the producer, and Brian Darcy James was our baker.
Wow, his first baker. Now he's full circle.
I know. So, yeah, and his wife, Jen Prescott, was also a stepsister. So that was really fun. So that was one of them.
And was that a production that you said that some of the times it was your costumes from
all of the time?
All the time.
I've never done the show without wearing my original costume.
And so was Glenn's production in general sort of similar to the one that you originated?
Yes, but he kept what worked and kind of tweaked a few other things. Like there were a couple of little, I wish I could remember the exact cuts, but there were a couple of scenes that he kind of pieced together so that they flowed a little better.
Oh, how great.
And I remember it worked really well. And then at Long Beach was the first time he had a person playing Milky White.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Scott Stevens. Do you know him?
I know that name.
He does the Broadway pet stuff with Bernadette.
Oh, wow. But he was the pet himself.
He was our Milky White.
I love that.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. He might have been assistant director, but I think he was our. Okay. Anyway, but it worked nicely, and Milky got some good laughs, and it was fun.
And you said that Mary Gordon Murray did some of those with you.
So Mary was, no, Sarah Tattersall was at Long Beach. Mary did the Ordway. Mary did one or two of the Sacramento music circuses. We did it in the tent. I've done it in the tent once or twice. And then there's like a Broadway series that was a one-off that I've done it with. Mm. And Michelle Pock was our witch that time.
Oh, I wish I'd seen that.
And that was, I did that when I was actually 5 months pregnant when I did Little Red.
Oh my gosh.
And it worked very nicely because, you know, she's supposed to have a nice round tummy.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
They used to have buckets for me off stage because I was so nauseous all the time. They would have a bucket waiting for me off stage.
Oh my god, your kid must have like time in the blood.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
And are your kids performers? Do you have one?
So I have two kids. My daughter majored in college in theater and English, and she is not pursuing the acting route, but she loves it. And my son just graduated from UC Davis. He graduated neurobiology, physiology, and behavior with a minor in global disease biology. But on the side, he was in the musical theater club.
Oh, I love it. Well, you did very well. Very smart and very well-rounded. Did either of them ever do a production of Into the Woods?
Yes. So the production that my husband directed in Virginia at that grad school, he used the kids, and they were little. He used my daughter Samantha as the, he did the whole thing as like a fairy tale. Oh, and dear. She was the person who sort of was the young Cinderella, and she like dropped the dress down to Cinderella, and she came in through. And then Benny, my son, who's very little, because I'm little, he was the goose that laid the golden egg, and Jack would carry him under his arm.
That is so cute.
Educational theater. You can do anything.
I love that.
And I was so happy that they had the opportunity to be a part of the show and really get to know it, even though they were like, I don't know, 7 and 9.
Did you ever want to graduate to one of the other parts? Did you ever want to do a baker's wife?
Oh, no. I couldn't do baker's wife. I think if I ever did it again, it would be probably Jack's mother, right? Or granny. But Jack's mother would be.
But you stayed in the Little Red lane so far.
I say it again.
You stayed in the little red lane so far.
Oh, I haven't done the show in a while, but yeah, so far it's only been little red.
I don't know. I would go see you do it again. I'd love to see that.
So funny. No, I'm definitely not of the appropriate age.
Well, you know, in a big venue, you could definitely blow it off.
I love you. You're so cute. That's great.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And then, Have you was there any kind of like, did you guys come together at all? Like when Sondheim died, you sort of alumni of that tour, was there any sort of,
No,
maybe you guys should have a reunion.
I think we should. I think that's a really good idea.
Come to New York before the revival closes and you can all do it together.
I like that idea.
Plant the seed. Well, listen, my day job is I'm the director of programming at the Green Room 42, which is a cabaret room in Midtown in the Yotel. I just started over the summer. But so if you want to come do anything by yourself or with your Into the Woods alumni or whatever, you just let me know. We'll set it up.
Thank you.
Everybody's got Into the Woods fever now. We can run with it.
Very fun. Very fun. Gosh. That's great. That's good.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Tracy. It's so much fun. And you really appreciate all of everything you remember. And it's so great to get that vivid picture of it.
So happy to talk to you. And I feel like you're just, you know, you've got this encyclopedia of, you know, you remember everything. And
I'm trying. I mean, it's amazing how much I can't find out, but I'm going to the Yale Library tomorrow to look through James Lapine's archives and hopefully get some answers.
Okay. All right. Like, what are you trying to find out? Like, what specifically?
Well, like, there was a reading. There was, before they went to San Diego to do it at the Old Globe, they did a workshop at Playwrights Horizons. And before the workshop at Playwrights, they did a reading at Playwrights Horizons. But I know that Danielle Ferland and Chip Zion were in it, and they remember each other being in it, although James Lapine does not remember Chip doing it. Chip played a prince in that version.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's when they had like Rumpelstiltskin was a character, and like it was a whole different thing. But nobody remembers who was any of the other parts. It was definitely not Joanna Gleason. It might have been Ray Gill, actually, because James was like in love with Ray Gill. One of the things I'm trying to get an answer to is because James and also Ira Weitzman, who had sort of like produced it for Playwrights Horizons in the first reading and workshop, and then went to San Diego with them. They spoke so lovingly of Ray Gill and how he'd gotten sick and passed, and that's why he wasn't in it after that. But I'm realizing now he was in it after that. He did the tour 2 years later. So maybe he just had another job when they went to San Diego.
Yes, I think he was doing something else. I don't know what, but I want to say maybe was Driving Miss Daisy or
I think that
Pirates? I don't know, but maybe he was busy. I don't know. Yeah. But I loved him. And he was a dear friend, like a really, really good friend.
I mean, they both, Ira and Chip also. Ira and Chip and James spoke of him personally, professionally, just as like a gem. And I guess so much so that Lapine couldn't conceive of somebody who didn't even look like him to play the part. It was a hard sell because Chip was such a different type that they couldn't, it took a while for them to come together because he wanted like a Ray Gill type.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I was so happy I got to work with him on the tour, and he did get sick. He found out. He got sick. That was tricky.
That was a dark time.
He stayed a while. I mean, he was able to do it for quite a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, it was hard.
Well, so I'm glad I got to hear that from you too. But but that first reading at Playwrights Horizons, I want to find out who was in it. And then also the workshops they did after San Diego, they have all kinds of wacky things. I guess they like auditioned choreographers, where different choreographers would come in and stage them, and then Lapine and Sondheim would discuss privately like who they, what they liked better, but nobody remembers who the choreographers were, or what, when they did that, or which the cast they used for it, or anything like that.
I barely remember even our choreographer. I barely, and Glenn Casale, who is not a dancer, he choreographed all the shows himself. I mean, there's really not, you know, it's just skipping or whatever.
Well, but Glenn is somebody a little, I mean, now Lapine has done a lot of musicals, but at that time, he was somewhat of a novice to it. And I think, you know, Glenn Casale is somebody who's made his career with musical theater.
Yeah.
But I'm even more mad that I missed it at the Long Beach Civic Light Opera, because I saw so many shows there the next couple of years, but I missed you and Into the Woods. But I'll wait for your reunion then. I'll see you.
Okay. All right. I'll start putting it together.
All right. Then this is just goodbye for now then. Oh, well, if you have any memorabilia that you want to send me like photos of, I would just love to see stuff, and we can use it on the social media. It helps promote the podcast when it drops, you know?
Okay. Like what kind of memorabilia?
Anything. I mean, you know, if you have photos, t-shirts, opening night, you know, programs. Okay, yeah.
Sondheim gave us a book and signed it with Lapine.
Yeah, I'd love to see photos of any of that. It would be so cool.
All right. I'll get that together. I also have, I don't know if you knew, but I wore glasses in the show. So
no, that's so cute.
I had reading glasses, and I remember we were doing the first read through, and I was like saying some lines, and Sondheim and Lapine were like, you know, ribbing each other, and I'm like, what? You know, it was like, you know, what? And they're like, we like your glasses. We're going to give you glasses in the show. So I wore these like red round, I'll send you a picture of them because I still have them. These red round glasses, and that sort of became, you know.
I love that. Well, send me a picture of those and take a picture wearing them too. That'll be super cute.
Now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to push you back into that Red Riding Hood.
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening to Giants in the Sky, how Sondheim and Lapine went into the woods on the Broadway Podcast Network. Look out for episode 40 with Jackie Dankworth, Cinderella in the original London cast, and Cleo Lane's daughter.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.